Tonight I'd ask you to take your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5 once again, 2 Samuel chapter number 5. And I want to read the first 12 verses here. Second Samuel 5, verse number 1, says, "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David and to Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. Saul, the elders of Israel, came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in thither, thinking David cannot come in hither. And nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, saying, Is the city of David. David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built a roundabout from Milo and inward. David went on and grew great, and the Lord of God of hosts was with him. That's our text verse right there for tonight. David went on, grew great. The Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built a house. David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. Now, before you get an attitude against David, let me explain what we're talking about there with regard to the blind and the lame. That's how David referred to the gods of the Jebusites. They were blind and lame. Okay? So it's not that he had a problem with blind and lame people. It's that he had a problem with the gods that they served, and he said, "Your gods are blind and lame." And so when he said, "You know, David, you come in here, you're gonna have to take away our gods. You know, you're gonna have to get through our gods to get to us." That's the idea of what he was saying there. That's my understanding of what that is talking about there. Now, David had reigned in Hebron over Judah for 7.5 years. And now he's finally just been proclaimed king over all Israel. And his first act as king of all Israel was to take possession of that ancient city of Jerusalem. And as we said, Jerusalem belongs to Israel. It belongs to Israel today. And rightfully, our president, and I thank God that he had the courage to just forget about the naysayers and proclaim Jerusalem as the capital and recognize it as the capital of Israel, because it is. And it's going to be the capital of the world. It's going to be the center where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rules and reigns from when he does his millennial reign, as we've been looking at that in our Sunday school lessons on Sunday morning. Now, the city technically belonged to Israel, but the Jebusites had dwelt there so long and had so increased that it was commonly called a city of the Jebusites. And they resented David's purpose, and they defiled him, of course, with those bitter words there in verse number 6. And they were defying him to come against their gods. And of course, we know that David served the only true and living God. And the only true and living God is going to
take out the false gods any and every day of the week and twice on Sunday. I mean, it's just no, there's no contest in that. And so verse 10 says, I like what verse 10 says, and David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. I like the fact that David didn't have any quit in him. When you take a look at David's life that we've taken a look at, both in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel up to this point, we see that there's many times that David could have had the quit in him. But first thing I want us to see is what David did. It says there in verse 10, and David went on. Now, if David had been looking for a place to quit, he could have easily found it. Amen? I mean, he just could have. We've seen how he faced many trials and pitfalls along the way. And that would have caused most folks to just throw up their hands and say, I'm done with this. I didn't buy into this. You ever heard somebody say, I didn't buy into this? Yeah. And that would be a way a lot of folks are. But not David. He went on. One thing we find in common with some of the greatest men of Scripture is their faithfulness and refusal to quit. That's what I like to see in Scripture. Some of my favorite Bible characters are those that are the most faithful, and they stood through very difficult times. Here we see it said of David that he went on. There was no quit in him. But we could take a look in the book of Daniel, and we have looked in the book of Daniel as we studied the book of Daniel a couple of years ago now, but what don't seem that long ago. It's just time just flying by on us. But in the book of Daniel, we see it said of Daniel that he continued in Daniel 1:21. And Daniel continued, it says, unto the first year of King Cyrus. You know, the kings came and went, and Daniel was just there. Daniel was just there, and he wasn't just there. He was there serving the Lord. He did what the Lord told him to do. He was obedient to the Lord, and he continued. Paul states some of this same greatness in Abraham. Look at with me, please, in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And, of course, Abraham being the father of our faith, really, you would expect him to have a faithfulness as a trait, wouldn't you? I mean, just we see in Romans 4, verse number 18, this is speaking of Abraham. It says, who against hope believed in hope. In other words, when it didn't seem like there was any hope, he had hope. What was his hope? His hope was in a God that doesn't lie, amen? As a who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You know what I see there? I see a no-quit attitude in Abraham, don't you? Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we see Paul exhibited the same greatness in himself in spite of many trials. There are many places in Scripture to talk about Paul's trials that he had. 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 10 and 11. He tells Timothy here, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. But he didn't quit there. He says, persecutions. You know my persecutions, my afflictions there. So which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, that persecution would cause a lot of folks to quit. Many folks did quit, but not Paul. He stuck with it. And he encouraged, not only did he stick with it, but he encouraged Timothy there in verse 14.
He told him in verse 13, he says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue. Don't quit. Amen. Just keep, go on. And, of course, chapter number 4, Paul talks about one of those instances where he was just standing by himself, standing alone. Look at verse 14. 2 Timothy 4, verse 14 says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we know that he died a martyr's death, but listen, that delivered him from this life, and to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Amen. I mean, he was immediately transferred into the presence of the Lord. He didn't have any quit in him, even though there was great persecution that came his way. And as I said, Paul exhorted Timothy to stick with it too. Back to David, the scripture says that David went on and grew great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. Listen, David went on with his responsibility. David knew that what he had, God had given him. Amen? And that's true with any of us. If you got anything that's worth anything, God gave it to you. And it had been a long wait, but his time had finally come. I can't imagine the years that he was waiting for what the Lord had told him was going to be a reality. I mean, just seven and a half years of it, was he was just ruling over Judah. That doesn't count all the years before that he was waiting through all that time of testing and trials where he was running on the run from Saul. Doesn't count all that, but it had been a long wait. But his time had finally come, and he's now the king over all Israel and Judah. And it appeared not to ever going to be happening, but his place, he knew, was secured by God, and that's why he went on. You know? He went on because he knew that God was true. What God had given him came with a great responsibility, though. And we need to realize that, too. You know, whatever God gives us, we have of him, but we also, with that, what he gives, there comes a responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. Amen. So David went on with his responsibility. Second of all, we need to go on with our responsibility. Every believer has God-given responsibilities. We may not have the same measure of responsibility as others. Nevertheless, God has given responsibilities to each of us. Every one of us that are saved by His grace, we have responsibilities and before the Lord. And we need to remember that rewards will be for faithfulness more than results. Amen. God wants you to be faithful. Be faithful. That's what he requires in stewards. David went on in spite of resistance. I mean, he met so much along the way. It started with his home. Eliab, remember, his brother. Eliab mocking him. You know, when he came to check out, his dad sent him to check on the front, see how the brothers were doing. He carried some stuff there to the front. And his brother says, "Oh, you just came here to spy things out." You know, he just mocked him for coming. Then he was mocked of Goliath. You know, Goliath couldn't believe the little kid was going to come against him. But he took Goliath down. He went on in spite of resistance from Saul. Saul's threatening and attempts on his life. They're in our scripture tonight. He had resistance from the Jebusites. He went on. Time and time again, we'll find where he's has resistance from the Philistines. But he just keeps going on, doesn't he? He just keeps going on. Many have ceased from going on who didn't have such resistance before them. You know, it don't take much for some folks to just quit. It don't take much. How much quit is in you tonight? Yeah, David went on, he was determined to do righteousness. The Bible doesn't say that David was perfect because he wasn't perfect. He was, however, a man after God's own heart. He sought the leading of God in public life as well as private. I mean, we've seen over and over again, and we're going to see it again. Look down in verse number, there in 2 Samuel 5, look down in verse number 19. We've seen this before, and as I said, we're going to see it again. And David inquired of the Lord. He was always asking the Lord, what should I do, Lord? Huh? He inquired of the Lord at various times regarding what he should do. And we'll find him, he asked the Lord, should he go down and bring back the ark? And the Lord allowed him to go down and get that ark and bring it back. He went down in chapter 6. We have yet to get there. But what we see, that what David did is he went on. Second thing I want to see is what David became. It says, and he grew great. He went on and he grew great. He started out as a lowly shepherd boy. Think about that. You know, shepherds, you know, that was a lonely occupation, sitting out there watching the sheep, dirty, dusty, dangerous. Then he became musician to the king. Then he became armor bearer to the king. Then he went back to shepherding for a while. Then he became a giant slayer. Then he became a warrior for his people. As he was dodging Saul, he was still fighting for his people. And then he became Judah's king, and then ultimately he became king of all Israel. But David became great. He became great in his kingly office. He became great in his honor. Other nations gave him tribute. We'll find that as we move on in the story. He became great in his victories. And he also became great in the eyes of his foes. He was respected by many. Sadly, there are many who throw away splendid opportunities to become great for God. At least greater by far than what they are right now, you know. I wonder, are you living the potential that God has placed in you? You know, God wants something from you. And whatever He's wanting from you, He's wanting you to be great at it. Amen. For some, the only greatness they'll ever achieve is becoming like Israel did. There's a couple of places in the Psalms where the psalmist talked about this. Psalm 78:41, he said, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Limited the Holy One of Israel. Are you limiting God in your life? You know, God wants to do great things in your life. And are you limiting Him? Psalm 106, verse number 7 says, He says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. They held back God's greatness in their life because they didn't understand. I mean, they saw the wonders of God, but they didn't put it all together. You know, that, hey, God has proven himself that we can trust him. Let's just trust him and just go on. If they'll learn the lesson to begin with, right there at the Red Sea. You think about it. If they had just learned when God parted the sea and they walked through on dry ground, they turn around and see their enemies drowned in the sea. If they'd have learned the message there of faith and trust in the Lord, and the Lord was going to take care of them, boy, how much easier would things have been in the wilderness as they went through and got to the promised land? But no, they turned their back, didn't they? It says, in fact, Psalm 106, verse 24 says, yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not His word. They believe not His word. And Psalm 106, verse 34 says, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. Even when they did get into the land, God said, you go in there, wipe them out. You know, you're to utterly, utterly wipe them out. And they didn't do it. And we find out in the book of Judges, when they didn't wipe them out, it caused them problems, didn't it? It caused them problems, great problems. Many fail to see how they can become great for God in many ways. Hey, you know, there's not one in here that can't become a great prayer warrior. Man, if nothing, you can pray. Amen. These missionaries, we read these letters of missionaries. We've got prayer lists with great needs on there. At the minimum, you can take and pray. Be a great prayer warrior for the Lord. You could become a great servant of the Lord. You may not think you could, you know. But God can do amazing things to those who would just say, okay, God, here I am. I'm yours. You use me how you want me to be used. And you can become a great witness. Anybody can be a great witness if they will lean upon the Lord. Become a great supporter of the church. Become a great standard bearer. You know, say, hey, I'm standing for truth and right. Standing for right doctrine. Amen. Many fail to see, though, how they can become great for God in many ways. Every person here can become great in some areas. In faith, and love, and dedication, and purity. We are the ones that stand in the way, oftentimes, of God doing great things through us. We see, third thing, what David had. What David had. Verse 10 says, and the Lord of hosts was with him. Think about that. Matters not who else is with us if the Lord of hosts is with us. The only way for a man, a family, a church, or a nation to prosper is to secure the presence of the Lord. What has been our nation's downfall when we moved away from God? What is the downfall of many families when they move away from God? Individuals, when they move away from the Lord, they hurt themselves. And that's why, friend, we need to get back to the Lord as individuals, as families, as churches, and also as a nation, and secure the presence of the Lord. How did David secure God's presence? Well, he trusted God, amen. He trusted the Lord. How many places in the Psalms do you read about that trust? I mean, he speaks of it over and over again, and we see it as he relies on the Lord. He inquires of the Lord and says, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said, David, go up. And I will doubtless deliver the Philistines in thy hand. Well, what did he do? Did he just sit on his rump right there? Nope. He went forward and did what the Lord had said would be could be accomplished through him. And he trusted God. He not only trusted God, but he acknowledged God in his life. You know, when God did the greatness through him, he was quick to give God the glory. He'd give the glory back to him. He consulted God. He obeyed God. Let me ask tonight, what are you doing with regard to God's will for your life? Will you go on? Will you continue? Or will you quit? You know, we need to determine to fulfill God's will in and through our lives and use all that God has given us to the best of our abilities with His help. Amen. God wants you to use what He's given you, but He wants you to use it leaning upon Him. He can do much more with what He's given you if you'll lean upon Him than you could do all by yourself. Amen. All right. That's our Bible study for tonight. Let's pull out our prayer list. We'll have prayer time, and then we'll be dismissed.